Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the first lesson, you heard King David pray these words: "You will save the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down." Very similar to what Jesus said in Sunday's gospel, isn't it? "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Also similar to the Magnificat, the Song of Mary that we'll sing this evening: "He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly." It's a recurring theme in Scripture. God humbles or brings down the proud, the one who has lifted himself up. And he exalts or lifts up the one who has brought himself low. Think of David in the Old Testament leading up to these words in 2 Samuel 22. He didn't push his way forward past his brothers to be anointed the next king by the prophet Samuel. If you recall, David showed up last of all, after all his brothers had gone through the line, and David expected nothing. But God chose him and raised him up. Even then, after he was anointed to be king, but while Saul was still the king, David didn't try to lift himself up onto the throne. He didn't oppose King Saul, but served him faithfully. And when Saul persecuted him and raged at him and falsely said all kinds of evil things against him, David still didn't try to lift himself up. He waited for God to do it, and he did. And then David sang the words recorded in the first lesson, words of faith. Where did that faith come from? I mean, for years, David had to live on the run. He had to live in hiding, in isolation from Israel, gathering a band of stragglers and malcontents and foreigners as his allies. How could David remain in a life like that? How could he remain humble? How could he wait for the Lord to lift him up when he had been brought so low? He could do all that. He could live like that because he had a promise from the Lord that he would one day sit on the throne of Israel as its king. Armed with that promise, he trusted that the Lord would shield him from harm. He had confidence that his enemies would not be victorious over him. He could endure all the hardships he had to. And of course, his confidence proved to be well-founded. Now, those were earthly enemies from whom the Lord eventually delivered David according to his promise. We have promises of earthly deliverance too, and earthly rewards as we trust in him and as we live as those who trust in him, though the promises we have are not nearly as specific. David had God's promise that he would survive Saul's attacks. The Lord hasn't promised any of us even another day on this earth. Here's what we can say: our times are in your hands. And we can say that and live by that and take comfort in that because of the promises God has given for an even greater deliverance and for even greater rewards. St. Paul deals with those promises in our second lesson. The law of Moses made some promises of its own. The man who does those things shall live by them. Well, that's not a promise that comes from grace. Grace is God's free of charge favor. The law doesn't include favor, doesn't require favor or mercy or kindness. It's a simple transaction, a simple bargain. You do your part, You do these things, that is, all the things that the law commands. You love God wholeheartedly. You love your neighbor in all the ways God commands you to love your neighbor. You live your life as God tells you to live it, and God will do his part. He'll pay you the wages you earned. You will live. You won't die at all, ever. You won't suffer. You won't get sick. You won't be harmed. Great promises. But good luck fulfilling your end of that bargain. To date, no one ever has, except for Jesus himself. But the law had within itself its own disclaimer that it was only temporary, that it wasn't the real way of salvation. The law itself, the law of Moses, pointed ahead to the end. And what did Paul say to the Romans in the second lesson? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And so Paul urges those who read his words, stop trying to offer God your supposed goodness, like the Pharisee did in Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Also, stop despairing over your very real badness, like Judas did after he betrayed the Lord and abandoned all hope of forgiveness. Instead, listen to the word of faith which we preach. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth a person confesses, resulting in salvation. The word of faith, Paul calls it, the message of faith. This is the gospel in a nutshell, just as much as John 3:16 is. A beautiful summary of everything God has revealed about how he wants to save us, how he wants to rescue us from sin and death and the devil. He wants us to confess, as Peter did, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He wants us to believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, which means we also have to believe that he was delivered over to death for our sins, and that his was the death that satisfies God. His was the death that fulfilled the law's demands for punishment. God wants you to believe that he will justify you freely when you trust in Christ, freeing you through faith alone from everlasting death and condemnation. He also wants you to confess this with your mouth. And if you believe it, then you can't do anything else. People who say they believe in Christ but hesitate to confess him, how can they believe in him? If Noah had said he believed God when God said he was going to destroy the world with a flood, but had hesitated to build the ark, would he really have believed the Lord's word? If Abraham had said that he believed God about his offspring coming through Isaac, but then refused to put him up on that altar when God commanded him to do it, would he really have believed what the Lord had said? No, faith is certain. Faith is bold. And if we really believe that God gave his Son into death for our sins and raised him to life for our justification, and if we really believe he reigns at God's right hand and is coming back soon, then we can't be silent about him when we're called upon to confess him before men. God wants all people to call upon Christ Jesus as Lord and to know that by believing in him, we're safe. We're saved from everything that could harm us. We Christians want all people to believe that too. But as Paul points out, no one can believe it unless they hear the gospel. And no one can hear it unless a preacher has been sent to preach it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So hear and believe and confess in whatever setting God has placed you in to confess with whatever people and with whatever audience. Even being here in church on a Wednesday evening or on a Sunday morning is an opportunity for you to shine as lights in the world, showing the world that, yes, you actually believe the gospel that you've heard, and so you have to keep coming and hearing the voice of your Savior. You have to keep worshiping the God who has saved you by grace alone, through faith alone, which comes by hearing alone. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.